Hello, my friends, Katie Day with the Movement to Texas team here with another episode of the Real Advice Podcast. I am excited to welcome this week's guest to the show in the real estate realm. She's been obviously a licensed realtor, productivity coach, but before real estate, she was in education and sales, starting out as the rookie of the year and then very quickly making her way up to top producer. I've always found that sales is an amazing foray into real estate as well as education, which Courtney did as well. What sets her apart is that background and then her commitment to educating clients to help make the process smooth and stress-free. Please join me in welcoming Courtney McCloskey to the podcast. What's going on?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am well. I'm just living the dream.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to dig in. So let's just jump right in and hop into it. So, so many people come into real estate and they've come in from a different career, right? So this is their second or fifth career or industry. What advice would you give to someone that's either part-time or considering making the jump into real estate to make it a smooth transition?
I think that the biggest thing is making sure that you do the work. So I think when you come in, it sounds really great. And we hear this over and over and over again. If you've been in the industry for a while, is people will say, oh, I'm so excited to look at houses all day. I can't wait to make my own schedule. And also like not understanding that you are in sales and it is, you know, a script based industry and you are going to say the same things over and over and over again. And so getting really connected with how you want to portray yourself to people, how you want to get them to make decisions and understanding that you are in sales and people want to be led. And I think that that's something that when you come from a different industry, maybe that's not sales, you don't understand that people do want to be led. They want you to be in charge of their process and they want to know that you are the one that's going to get them where they want to go. And I think people don't quite understand that until they've been in the industry for a while. That if you let your client lead the process, they will, and nothing ever happens.
Well, so two things. One, you said do the work, and like I was recently at a mastermind, and you know we're like, okay, open forum, everyone ask questions, and you know one of the people had a question, and they're like, hey, like you know I've been in this now for almost a year, and I'm putting in the work, and it just nothing really seems to be panning out, and we're like, okay, well, what does putting in the work mean, right? So I'm gonna kind of challenge you with that same question, like what are the things of doing the work that are things that actually move the needle?
I think the biggest thing about doing the work is making the connections. And so whatever your lead source is that you're going to choose, because we know that there's a million things you can choose from as far as leads go. Some people do networking. Some people buy leads. Some people use only their sphere. Whatever choice that is, you need to go all in on that. And that means every single day. So when I first started, I love networking. I'm actually a natural introvert. And so, which sounds like an oxymoron that I love networking. But yeah. My goal was to go and put out as much energy as I had, and then I could go retreat for a little bit. But I was networking 5, 6, 7 times a week. And I made my own networking group. And so then I was inviting other women in business to my networking group. Yeah. And then I was able to get business that way. So I think whatever it is your lead source is, and mine has shifted over the years, but it doesn't matter. You have to really commit to doing that work because that is the only thing. That's how we get paid, right?
Yeah,
you've got to
sure.
make connections. You've got to move people through the process and get it done, or you're never going to get a paycheck.
Well, and so you know, being at networking events or obviously creating your own group is great too. You know, what are some things that you do in communication? Because it's not like you're just walking up to people and being like, I sell real estate. Do you want to buy a house? I mean, yeah. Maybe you were, but I assume that there is a little bit more finesse to it than that.
I think it's really creating a connection. So my goal is always to make one great connection. Okay. I don't go into a networking event thinking I'm going to make 10 great connections and just collect business cards. That doesn't make sense for me.
Yeah.
But I definitely use my intuition and I feel out the room. And a lot of times I am the person standing in the corner and I want to give people the permission to be like, it's okay if you're a complete introvert and you want to try out networking. It's okay if you stand in the corner because the wildest things happen, right? Like the most amazing people come up to me who want to have a conversation with me. And they end up being some people that are my biggest referrals to this day because when I first started, I was nervous.
Yeah.
And I was uncomfortable. But it's so funny because like the most amazing humans actually will come to you. And so I think if you're open for miracles when it comes to that situation, you know, you just make it happen. And I think that that's the thing, but it's actually, for me, it's going deep. Like, and how can this be a win-win relationship? How, what value can I provide to them?
Yeah.
Because I think that people want win-win relationships in the world that we live in today. I know I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to work with people who I know are going to be a win-win. It's going to be fun to work with. They're going to provide some value to me. And so that's what I was always looking for. How can I provide value? Can I connect them with one person that's going to make their business or their life better today? And that was the intention.
Yeah. Being that connector and being, you know, trying to add value in any way, you know, always comes back tenfold. You know, I know that that's difficult sometimes, especially just getting started in real estate, but, that's such a good, you know, kind of mindset to have around networking. So one thing I kind of failed to ask you, which is normally my first question, but we'll, you know, hit it right now. So how did you get into real estate, right? Like, you know, you were in education, you were in sales, you kind of did a lot of different things before this. How did you make the transition into what you're doing today?
I've always been interested in real estate. My dad's actually a builder in Texas.
Okay.
And so I've been around it my whole life and I've understood the industry, just like the basics of it. But I've always been too scared. You know, we grow up and we get conditioned to security and safety. And that's how I actually got into teaching. I have a degree in business and a second degree in marketing. And, I always thought I would go into that field and I really wanted to coach. So I was a collegiate athlete. And so I really wanted to coach. And in Texas, you have to be a teacher if you want to coach. And so I did that for a while and I really loved it. And I grew and I learned a lot about myself and I became, you know, a role model really quick, unbeknownst to me, but that's what happens when you become an educator. And so I loved that piece of it. And then I got into sales because it was still safe, but I knew that I was going to learn a lot of skills and I didn't really have an intention of getting into real estate. I just had always been interested in it. But when I went into sales, I wasn't intending. I thought that would be like my forever job. I loved it. And obviously, I mean, I was really good at it as well. And I'm grateful because the training that I got was amazing.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking like, okay, there has to be something more. I wasn't getting paid what I thought I should be getting paid for the amount of work I was doing. And also the amount of business I was bringing into the company. You know, I had $1 million territory and my pay, I will just say, did not reflect that.
Yeah.
And I got a huge raise, asked for a huge raise, ended up getting it. And 2 weeks later gave my notice. And I think I felt so terrible for my manager who was a mentor to me, but I realized it wasn't about that. And so I had gotten my license in between. I'd gotten my license. I'd started doing some real estate, on the side as a side hustle. And I think that that's okay. I think, you know, a lot of times people will say like, you got to go all in. And well, I needed to pay bills. And so I wasn't trying to go all in from the beginning. But I just always had loved it. And I knew that there was going to be some way that I wanted to get into it. And now, I mean, I think I look back, I've been licensed for 8 years. I've been full time for 7 and it's just, I can't imagine doing anything else. So it was an evolution. I knew that I loved sales and then I was like, oh God, I can make so much more money with these skills by doing real estate, which is something that I love and helping people. You know, that is a cliche, but it's true. You know, it's a different type of sales.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, right? Is like you are selling, but like it's so much more of a like consultative approach, right? Than like you being like, all right, I've got to sell these water bottles to this company, you know, and like, I'm not sure if they want them or not. Like most people want a place to live, right?
Yeah.
And so whether you're helping them rent or buy or sell or whatever it may be, you know, it's like, we're on the same side here. And that's what I really like about real estate, as opposed to other jobs where it's like, you know, I want you to buy this. It's like, I want to help you buy something that you want to buy kind of thing.
Yeah. I love that. It is definitely more of a relationship builder. And yeah, we're on the same team, which is so much more fun.
So, what do you think, you know, when you look back on just, obviously you said the sales skills, but when you look back on kind of your career and your journey thus far, what are some key items that you think as far as like mindset and stuff like that, that have made you successful in real estate?
I think the biggest key is emotional intelligence. And I studied that like obsessively when I was in not only teaching, but also in sales, right?
Yeah.
And I think knowing and understanding the language patterns and the way to get people to take action or do what you need them to do and move through the process quickly is the biggest skill set that I almost delete and overlook that I think that I have. I was actually talking to my preferred lender yesterday and he was like, what are you doing that's different? And I'm like, I had to think about it, right? Yeah. I was like, well, I'm just do what I do every day.
But like, it's not that special, but I do it every day. Yeah.
It isn't a big deal. But it really is. It's the emotional intelligence, the ability to formulate a question to get the answer that I'm looking for, right? And it's more about getting them to the next stage, you know, and getting them to make a next decision. So I think learning and understanding people, language patterns, and emotional intelligence, and being able to read them, you know, if they're ready to buy, they're going to give you those signs, their language patterns, their conversations are going to be a certain way. If they're not and they're a tire kicker, that's okay too. They may be 2 years down the road. It's no big deal. But what I find when I coach agents is they put all their time into people thinking that they're ready to buy. And I can have 1 5-second conversation and realize they're not ready.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're wasting people's time. And that's not their fault, right? That's the agent's fault, not getting through the process good enough and having a good understanding to really see where they're at and put them in the right spot.
So if I were, you know, a brand new agent and, you know, I had some leads that I needed to call or something like that, what would be some key questions that you may ask to, like, you know, obviously we have all the scripts of like LP Mama and like the different things to like understand like what type of house you want to buy. But what are some things that, like, you know, if you feel like someone's on the fence or like kind of to understand their motivation?
So if it was a buyer, I would say, you know, what's the date that you're putting the key in the door and the U-Haul is pulling up?
Okay.
So I get them to visualize, right? I think that that's really important, you know, because they may think that, you know, in September, they're fine to start shopping in August, right?
Yeah.
People don't understand the process and how long it can take. And so that's the first question I ask. You know, when are you moving in? You know, when is little Johnny putting up the playset and we're like getting ready to go?
Doing the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the first question. Then you really can start gauging from there.
Yeah. The reverse engineer is always one, but like I found that a lot of times people don't, buyers especially, and sometimes agents, but buyers especially don't fully understand, like, okay, if you close today, it's, or if you sign a contract today, it's 30 or 45 days from now that you're actually moving in, right? A lot of times people are like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna buy a house and then, you know, move in the next day, and it's, you know, definitely not like that, right? So
And I think working backwards, and that's what we do. So we ask questions like that first. And then I say, okay, from here, this, we're going to work backwards on the timeline. And then we give them the timeline. So we're educating them on the process. And then, like, a lot of people will say, oh, I'm renting, you know, that sort of thing. And then I start to have conversations with them about what would it look like if you broke your lease? Like, if we found the perfect house tomorrow and you could close in 30 days and now you're 60 days left on your lease, what does it look like? And I share stories, right? So, like, if a lot of times your landlord, if they can rent it, then they're totally okay with that. Like, you just have to ask the questions. So coaching them to ask that, because a lot of times that's a roadblock.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. And like, I asked the question, you know, of what date do you want to move or what date do you want to close or when do you need to be in the new home? But I like the, like, what day are you putting the key in the door and the U-Haul is pulling up, right? Cause that really is so much more of a visual thing. Like, oh, holy shit, I now own a home, right? Like my things are behind me and like, this is happening. But I love that as far as kind of making it a little bit more real and emotional, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use that in our next role play. So
I love
thank
that.
You for that one.
You're welcome.
All right, so I like the mindset thing, and I like, you know, obviously emotional intelligence is important. Asking the right questions is important. Do you feel like you have key items in your schedule that you know you've kind of always done or had?
So I go like 1,000 miles an hour. So I'm cracking up that's your question.
As do most agents, right? But like, you know, when you distill it down though, I'm sure there's things that you do, maybe not every day, but on a regular basis, right? As you said, like when you were asked, like, what makes you special? Yeah. You're like, I just do this shit every day, you know? Like,
yeah. When you have to think about it, it definitely hits different. I think the biggest thing is I do it throughout my daily conversations, right?
Okay.
So I think that's the biggest thing. And I am very intentional about networking, and, you know, we have different lead sources now, like with expireds and FSBOs, which is just a whole different beast. But if I'm going throughout my day and I'm having conversations, I always end up having real estate conversations, you know, and it's not me saying, oh, you want to buy or sell? You want to invest? What do you want to do? Like, I don't do that. But for some reason, there's always an opportunity to talk about the market or, oh, I love your new fireplace. I saw it on Facebook, you know, those types of conversations. Or holy crap, you cut down all the trees than the house we just sold you, you know, like, oh my God, why'd you do that? So having those types of open conversations about what's going on in the world, and then it inevitably people start asking about real estate or the law of reciprocity, right? Like, oh, how's work going? What are they going to ask me next? How's the market?
It's fine.
So it's pretty simple. I think the biggest thing is really integrating it into your daily. And I think, you know, like I coach softball. So people, parents know what I do. We're friends on social media. I typically tend to get 1 to 3 deals a year just from softball parents. Which isn't a ton, but people being involved in your community, what are you doing every day? You know, the mom that goes to stroller strides. Are you talking about real estate? You know, what are you, and how are you being genuine and authentic in those conversations? Right. Like, I think that's a piece too.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So 8 years in, you know, they say most people don't make it to their first renewal. So I think you're safe on that one, you know, at this point, right? What do you feel like are things that you maybe do, or like read or listen to, you know, as far as like personal development or professional development?
A lot about money mindset.
Okay.
A lot about wealth building, investments. I just read Exit Rich because I have a property management company that my intention is to sell. And so anything that is getting me into the next step. And I think that that's something that's huge. I think I've done so much, actually just talking with a good friend of mine about this, but I think I've done so much personal and professional development, like personal development for sure, professional development, of course, by proxy, that I'm almost like, okay, what's the next step from here? Right. And I think that, you know, you can go to all the events, which I think you should, right? Like if, like Keller Williams, Tony Robbins was just at Keller Williams family.
I saw that. I was
That's amazing. KW's. Right? Mel Robbins was there. And so how do you get in those rooms? I think those are the things. But as far as me, I read anything about money, wealth, mindset, law of attraction. I definitely believe in law of attraction. So I think what you're putting out there, you're going to be bringing back tenfold. And so I think that is huge. And I have to get refreshed on that probably every couple of months. You know, it's just, you can get into your rut of the way that your brain, and I think learning and understanding how your brain works, that it's got neural pathways and it will continue to go down those neural pathways until you retrain it.
Well, so. I also think that it's tough, right? Like, you know, everyone, there's so many different sayings of like, you know, what you put out into the world and whatever, right? We don't have to quote, you know, all the gurus on that. Like everyone's heard them, but I think that it's tough, you know, especially for new agents, but just across the board, right? Of like when you're giving, but you aren't seeing anything yet in return, right? Of like, is this the right path or should I just go be selfish, you know, and whatever, right? And so I think that for everyone, no matter where you are in life or your career or what season you're in, it's like, it is difficult at times, right? You know, not see that kind of payoff or whatever it may be. But I can tell that's something that's important to you, because that's, I mean, the people and the relationships and the networking, you know, you've mentioned multiple times. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's something that I totally feel strongly about as well, for sure. And yeah, I saw Tony Robbins was at KW. I was like, man, that would have been cool. I saw him a couple years back at a brokerage event for another brokerage, and it was cool. That was the entire reason why I was there.
I went to Built Howe. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah,
but
with Ben.
Yeah, because Sarah Blakely was there, and she's like my all-time favorite entrepreneur since she was been on Oprah, you know, since I was a little kid. So I think getting in the room in proximity is just, it's magical. And I think you have to really do that, because we don't always have, not everything is always going great. And actually, you're friends with a friend of mine, which is how we connected, Rachel Novak. And I texted her this morning and I was like, girl, So here's the thing. I put conditioner in my hair 3 times this morning before I realized it wasn't shampoo, you know? And I think there's just, you're distracted. You've got stuff going on and it's like things happen and you can still be incredibly successful and have crazy, silly, funny things happen to you throughout the day. And I think you have to figure out what works for you, you know? And I think people want to tout all the gurus and their advice is amazing. And I love it. But at the same time, going inside and realizing like, your path, right? What is Courtney's way of doing business? What is Katie's way of doing business? What does that look like? And I think people want to take everyone's advice and try to put it all into one thing that's them, but that's not even how they want to do business.
That conditioner thing was this morning?
Yeah.
I mean, your hair looks silky smooth, so, you know.
It's extra conditioner.
Yeah, no, it looks great. No split ends. It's, you know, just smooth as hell. You. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's totally on purpose.
I'll one up you on that. I was in Orlando this week for a real estate conference, right? And so hopped on the plane, took a 6 a.m. flight home Eastern time. So it's 5 a.m. Central time. You know, I get home and I'm tired, right? Like I got 3 hours of sleep or something. So I'm at the airport. I have my backpack on, but I checked a bag and I almost walked from off the plane out to my car. Then I was like, wait, nope, I've got a bag. I need to go find my check bag. And then I went down. Cause like, you know how you can like walk straight out or you can go down to baggage claim. I just almost walked straight out. I was like, no, no.
Yeah. I feel that so bad.
But at least yours was in your home. I was like, I could have freaking gotten in my car, driven, you know, halfway home and like, oh shit, I don't have any of my things. Sure. So
if
I'm glad.
I would have saved it for you. It would have been okay.
Yeah. So we all have those moments, right?
See, you can do anything.
Yeah. It's fine. Okay. I'm going to hit you with the one question that I ask everyone on the podcast.
Okay.
And that is, if it were your last meal on earth, what would you be eating?
Pizza, hands down.
Oh, no hesitation either. Pizza. Is it some like local place?
No, any kind of pizza, pepperoni, basic, don't care. It's my favorite of all the things.
You'd eat like Little Caesars as your last meal?
Sure. Totally fine.
Bold statement.
Don't even care.
All right.
Not a hesitation. It's pizza.
Okay. Good to know. Well, Courtney, I appreciate you and all of the knowledge that you shared today. If someone does not follow you on social, where is the best place for them to connect with you?
Instagram is the best. CC Investments, Courtney Carroll, CC Investments. Or Facebook is fine. Courtney Carroll McCloskey.
It's fine, but Instagram
better. Is the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I so appreciate you hopping on today. Hopefully we can hang out sometime in person sometime soon. Yes. But I appreciate you and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much.